The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Greetings, everyone. I'm Jennifer Green for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Teen Magazines. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from theteenmagazine.com. Our first article today from theteenmagazine.com. Kamala Harris, who she is, her presidential bid, and her vision for America's future. This article was written by Natalie Olivia Korn on July 28th. Kamala Harris has achieved many firsts in her life. In 2011, she became the first African-American and South Asian-American Attorney General in California. In 2016, she became the second African-American woman and first South Asian-American U.S. Senator. And in 2021, she became the first female African-American and South Asian-American Vice President and highest-ranking female official in U.S. history. In November, Americans will decide if she will become the first female president of color. What I want young women and girls to know is, you are powerful and your voice matters. You're going to walk into many rooms in your life and career where you may be the only one who looks like you or who has had the experiences you've had. But you remember that when you are in those rooms, you are not alone. We are all in that room with you, applauding you on, cheering your voice, and just so proud of you. So you use that voice and be strong. Kamala Harris. Who is this inspiring, trailblazing woman who's anticipated to be nominated as America's new presidential candidate? Early life. Kamala Harris was born on October 20, 1964, in Oakland, California. Her parents, both immigrants, one from India and the other from Jamaica, met at the University of California. Her mother, Shyamala Gopalan, was a cancer researcher from a family of Indian diplomats, while her father, Donald Harris, was a professor at Stanford University. As a child, Kamala frequently traveled to India while embracing her black culture, with her family prioritizing her connection to all parts of her heritage. My mother understood very well that she was raising two black daughters. She knew that her adopted homeland would see Maya and me as black girls, and she was determined to make sure we would grow into confident, proud black women. Kamala Harris's 2019 biography, The Truths We Hold. After her parents divorced, Kamala and her sister Maya were raised by their mother. Kamala grew up in the era of the civil rights movement and went to several marches and protests with her mother. When I was growing up, my parents were activists in the civil rights movement. There's something I remember from my childhood that really made me believe in the possibilities of our country. I saw people of all ages, all colors, all religions, all backgrounds unified in their fight for justice. We must continue this today. Kamala Harris's 2016 Facebook post. In 1986, Kamala attended Howard University and majored in political science and economics. She later earned her law degree from the University of California. Career. After receiving her law degree, she worked at the Alameda County District Attorney's Office in 2014. At that office, she was the Deputy District Attorney. She was known for being a tough prosecutor, as she often dealt with cases of gang violence, drug trafficking, and sexual abuse. In 2010, she was later recruited to work as the District Attorney for the City of San Francisco. In 2013, Kamala played a role in helping the same-gender marriage ban be overturned. she refused to defend a proposition that banned same-gender marriage, which helped it gain more traction and get overturned a few years later. In 2014, she married one of her co-workers and fellow attorney, Doug Emhoff. Through her marriage with Doug, she became a stepmother to his children, Cole and Ella. After her marriage, she was asked to campaign for a U.S. Senate seat previously held by Barbara Boxer. Her campaign focused on immigration, criminal justice reform, protection of women's reproductive rights, and increasing the minimum wage. As a U.S. Senator, she worked on the Judiciary Committee and the Select Committee on Intelligence. Her tough prosecution style was noticed during her interrogation of witnesses and her firm stance on important issues. During a high-profile hearing, she gained attention for questioning U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions about Russian interference in the 2016 presidential election. This was significant mainly because she had previously asked him to resign. Madam Vice President. In 2020, the world was on high alert as the COVID-19 virus spread out of control. Americans looked to their president for guidance. During a press briefing, most Americans were horrified as Donald Trump recommended they try drinking the harmful disinfectant bleach to kill the virus. It was clear that with the election quickly approaching, America needed a new leader. Americans were even more in need of that leader when Trump incited an insurrection in the Capitol building on January 6, 2021, leading to a violent attack on the U.S. Capitol, resulting in the deaths of 4 people. Joe Biden was chosen to be that leader. Unlike the last president, Biden seemed to understand the value of science, the law, and brought about change. It also helped that his pick for vice president was a woman of color. As vice president, Harris pushed for Congress to pass the John R. Lewis Voting Rights Advancement Act, visited a Planned Parenthood clinic in a historic first, oversaw the White House Office of Gun Violence Prevention, introduced the Maternal Care Act and the Black Maternal Health Momnibus Act, and celebrated new electronics produced in Kenosha, Wisconsin, under the Biden-Harris administration's Investing in America agenda. She also supported the bipartisan infrastructure law's investment in American-made materials and products, and helped with a bill that made Juneteenth a federal holiday. Presidential candidate. In 2024, Americans grew increasingly concerned about President Joe Biden's health. Biden made history as the oldest president in American history. It didn't help that during a recent presidential debate against former President Donald Trump, he was at times incoherent. At the same time, concerns about Project 2025, a concerning plan directly linked to Donald Trump and his campaign, were escalating. While former President Donald Trump has denied involvement, many on his campaign team are linked to Project 2025, which calls for sacking thousands of workers, expanding presidential power and immunity, dismantling the Department of Education, sweeping tax cuts, halting sales of the abortion pill, and more. In light of the approaching election in November, Joe Biden chose not to run for re-election and endorsed Kamala Harris as the Democratic presidential candidate. He listened to the American people and decided that if the Democrats had any shot at beating the convicted felon, former President Donald Trump, he would have to step down. "I have decided the best way forward is to pass the torch to a new generation. That is the best way to unite our nation." President Joe Biden's statement on his decision to endorse Kamala Harris. On July 21st, in less than 24 hours, Democrats raised over $81 million in support of the new nominee. it became evident that Kamala is popular with the American people, especially the younger generations. She was trending on TikTok for her infamous coconut speech, her big laugh, and the hope she and her campaign are restoring in America. A New York Times Siena poll found Harris up 18 points over Trump among voters under 30, while an Axios Generation Lab poll showed her opening a 20-point lead over the former president. The Guardian's article, Gen Z Voters Spread the Kama Love as Harris's Popularity Earns Youth Support. Madam President? Kamala is still in the early stages of her campaign and has yet to outline specific promises, but her campaign is set up as a prosecutor versus the felon, positioning her as a strong leader against her opponent, former President Donald Trump. In a recent meeting with the Zeta Phi Beta sorority, she pledged to help Americans retire, reduce gun violence, provide affordable health care, lower child poverty, forgive student loan debt, and save democracy. In this moment, I believe we face a choice between two different versions for our nation, one focused on the future, the other focused on the past. And with your support, I am fighting for our nation's future. Remarks given by Vice President Harris at a meeting with the Zeta Phi Beta sorority. Our next article from theteenmagazine.com. To what extent should ChatGPT be allowed or even encouraged in school? This article was written by Tegan Wiltshire on July 30th. Imagine this. You're struggling with your homework, wondering how you're meant to answer a particularly hard question. The deadline is tomorrow at 7 a.m., and it's 1 a.m. in the morning. You're tired and frustrated. How are you meant to answer this question and get some sleep before it must be submitted? Suddenly, the answer is flashing right before your eyes, or rather, on your computer screen. You could use ChatGPT, an AI chatbot, to help you. With a little bit of typing and a click, the difficult question is explained in a simpler way, in a flash, allowing you to finally complete your assignment, turn it in, and earn yourself that well-deserved sleep. ChatGPT has both pros and cons when it comes to use in schools, especially for homework. On the one hand, it could provide great help in terms of your studies by helping to explain things, elaborate on ideas, or provide inspiration for revision strategies. However, ChatGPT can also have its capabilities abused by students who just want to avoid doing their assignments. For example, by asking it their homework questions in order to get straight to the answers without any real thinking. With the advantages and disadvantages in mind, to what extent should ChatGPT be allowed or even encouraged in schools? Pro: it's helpful for narrowing things down. Suffice it to say that most students have read at least one tricky question in their homework and have been slightly confused, either because the question is too difficult, because the wording is strange to them, or sometimes even a mixture of both. This is where the first advantage of ChatGPT comes in. If you're struggling, you can simply type in the question and ask the AI to provide a simpler explanation in order to narrow down what you need to do to answer the question. It's a useful feature that could help if a similar question comes up in your future exams, because you now know how to go about answering it. Furthermore, this is a good way to revise, too. Con: AI-generated answers are cheating. Some students may decide to skip over the narrowing down of the question and simply ask ChatGPT to answer the question straight away. Although this can be helpful in generating model answers, especially to written essay questions, this isn't very helpful in the long term. For one thing, the AI may generate work that is far beyond your capacity to produce. This does not reflect your actual ability level, and while certain subjects may be frustrating and difficult for you, it's overall much better and far more rewarding in the long run to put in your own effort. In addition, using AI in exams is seen to be cheating by virtually all schools, meaning you could potentially fail a subject if caught. Because of this, it's not worth the risk involved in trying to generate a full answer. Pro: notes can be generated and organized with a click. ChatGPT is not only useful as an AI chatbot, it doubles as a more advanced search engine. This means that students can ask for notes on a certain topic, for example, some facts about animal cells, and the AI can quickly generate facts and organize them into clear, concise notes that one can then use for revision. Not only is this a speedy way of creating notes, but it can also be helpful if you struggle with organization or don't know how to categorize your facts and figures. Additionally, because ChatGPT gathers information from all over the internet, it ensures that the facts are from different websites, meaning your knowledge is more widespread. If you use this method, make sure to cross-reference your generated facts to make sure that they're accurate. Con: the AI could be out of date. Using an AI like ChatGPT to generate notes on historical or general topics can be helpful. However, the AI only has a certain knowledge capacity and is often behind by a year or more, meaning it has little to no knowledge of more recent events. For example, when I asked the ChatGPT chatbot what its knowledge threshold is today, it said that it has a knowledge cutoff of July 2023, meaning it has no information on what has happened since then. Because of this knowledge cutoff, it's wise to ask ChatGPT, or whichever AI bot you'd like to use, where its knowledge threshold is. In this way, you can decide whether it'll be useful to you or not. If the AI is too outdated, it won't be of much use to you in terms of more recent events. Pro: it can help predict your grade. Have you ever felt the anticipation of waiting for your grade after you complete an assignment? ChatGPT can be used to predict your result and give a general overview of how well you've done. For example, if you've written a particularly long essay but don't feel like going through the entire mark scheme, you could simply ask AI to mark it for you and predict roughly how well you've done. This feature is especially useful if you're the type of person who struggles with the anxiety of waiting for your grades to come out, and if also helpful if you want to know how to improve. Just be aware that the AI could use an out-of-date mark scheme. It's always best to let your teacher have the final say. However, as a prediction, ChatGPT can be useful for seeing how well you might have done. Con: not everything the AI says is true. ChatGPT is, as a general rule, very accurate. However, as with any AI-generated content, it can create information that is inaccurate, offensive, or biased. This is because of the huge amount of information the AI learns from and remembers. Picture it like human memories. You have hundreds, if not thousands of memories, but you can only remember some of them in detail. Others get pushed out or changed as you create more, and sometimes your brain just makes things up in order to fill in the gaps. It's similar to ChatGPT. It remembers so much information that it sometimes gets confused and provides false information. With this in mind, you should always cross-reference the information the AI generates using a trusted source to double-check if it's fact or fiction. Conclusion. As with all AI tools, ChatGPT is not without its disadvantages. It could be abused by students who simply want to ignore the responsibility of their schoolwork. However, it could equally be utilized by schools to aid their students in terms of revision and note-taking. So long as ChatGPT is used responsibly, and so long as rules and regulations are set surrounding it in order to ensure that no cheating is seen, there is no reason to deny students the right to use ChatGPT in schools, as it can be a great help to them. Furthermore, ChatGPT should be allowed and encouraged in schools to a great extent, provided that it is used responsibly. Our next article from theteenmagazine.com. Oklahoma's superintendent needs to set his priorities straight. This article was written by Chinmayi Goyal on August 11th. What do you learn about in history class? Perhaps the American Revolution, the Founding Fathers, the Declaration of Independence, or the Constitution? Recently, however, Oklahoma Superintendent Ryan Walters has suggested a different focus, the Bible. On July 24th, Walters issued a new directive mandating that public schools in Oklahoma teach the Bible as part of their curriculum. This follows an earlier push from Walters to incorporate this religious text into classrooms across the state. How does Walters propose to include the Bible? Walters' guidance mandates every Oklahoman 5th through 12th grade classroom to have a physical copy of the Bible, along with the Constitution and Declaration of Independence. Superintendent Walters believes that the Bible is mandatory for the holistic education of students in Oklahoma, because it can fit the broader curriculum in a secular manner. According to Walters, the Bible is crucial to understand Western civilization as a whole and its impact on American history, art, and culture. Interestingly, however, the Bible is not alluded to or quoted in the Declaration of Independence, a foundational American document. In fact, even 18th century framers like Thomas Jefferson understood the importance of a separation between church and state. Jefferson even established a library rather than a church as the center of his University of Virginia. While Walters' guidance identifies how the Bible might be integrated into the curriculum, it lacks practical instructions for teachers on how to accommodate and respect various religious and non-religious viewpoints in the classroom. Because of this lack of acknowledgement to other faiths, Walters' message has been lost on many Oklahoman public school districts. Several of these schools have publicly stated that they will not change their curriculum, regardless of Walters' new guidelines. Some pressing issues in Oklahoma. National data shows that the academic impact of COVID-19 on Oklahoma is far from over. In an especially crucial time when bridging the gap should be the top priority, Walters is focusing on the wrong things and detracting from more pressing educational needs. A national NWEA research report from July shows that the gap between pre-pandemic results for Oklahoma has widened during the 2023-2024 school year. This was a result of an extensive study conducted by NWEA, which administered standardized assessments across the country, including in more than 100 Oklahoma school districts. Furthermore, data from the Oklahoma State Department of Education shows that only 27% of students are scoring at proficient levels in reading, math, and science on state tests, scores that significantly impact a school's overall rating. It appears the Superintendent Walters's focus on integrating the Bible into the curriculum may be distracting from more critical issues. Although Walters may believe that the Bible is the best way for students to learn about their nation's history, perhaps there should be a more focused and inclusive approach to address the educational issues in Oklahoma. Immediate academic needs, such as a greater emphasis on math and reading skills, can be more beneficial in the long run when it comes to ensuring that all students receive high-quality education. Oklahoma will then be able to better support its students and work towards narrowing academic gaps. In a time when Oklahoma's educational system faces significant challenges, the focus should be on bridging the academic gaps, not deepening the divides. We've run out of time for today's episode of Teen Magazines. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jennifer Green, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Teen Magazines is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. We thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.